Did McCowell give you access to the system to take a look at it?
Yes, and I've gone through and seen all of the courses, and they're in all different categories.
Okay, so it's pretty nice and comprehensive.
Yes.
Would it allow the HMA consultant to interact with the client through that, or does it just deliver the video presentations that you videotaped?
That's a great question. I need to ask Macau about that.
Okay, and the bonus step, do you want to just describe the bonus step? I did look through it.
We have completed the 8th bonus module, which is Internet Marketing, is your website making enough sales? And we have in there a very good website scorecard and all of the ideas and ways that a HMA consultant could help a client increase sales on the web. So that's now complete as an 8th bonus step. So we have the 7 steps to a lot more sales system with the 8th bonus step.
Could we leverage what's going on with Macau and IBM and Dell as an asset? What could the HMA consultant say in relation to that without it being, you know, they can't endorse it, but any kind of wording?
We can't have any consultants putting any Dell or IBM logos or endorsements in their materials or on their sites, but they can say something like the following, and that is, the HMA marketing system is the same marketing and sales training course used by IBM and Dell for all of their business clients, online learning.
Okay, that's great.
It's a great, strong association.
Richard, do you have anything else on your outline you want to talk about before we go into just Q&A, general question and answer?
Yeah, one last thing, and that would be I have been putting together a web training course, and in the process of doing that, I need to let everyone know how much more clearer the HMA system's unique selling proposition has become. It is very, very strong. And I need and want these HMA consultants to really feel a passion about what alternative they're providing clients and prospects in the field. And I just want to reiterate that the HMA system is the only marketing system out there that takes a business's current marketing assets and through the 7 steps and 8th bonus step, leverage those assets for more growth without asking the client to spend more money on traditional advertising methods. That is your 90-word USP. That has to get ingrained into your psyche and into your presentation. That is what separates HMA from everything else out there. Dan Kennedy doesn't have it. Jay Abraham doesn't have it. No one has organized these steps in such a way that they will exploit and leverage a company's current marketing assets for increased revenue of 25 to 100 or 1,000% or more without asking the client to spend any more money. That is it. And I can't tell you how it increased my passion for it in putting together this web course and making it clear as I could do it. And so I want to ask, is there any HMA consultant that does not understand that? Was that new to anybody, what I just said?
I haven't heard that it's the only system, so that's kind of new.
Tell me if I'm wrong. If there's anything else out there, I need to know that. I need to know if I'm wrong, but I'm always looking and finding out. And what I've seen the competition is they all have parts of it, but nothing has been put together that is so comprehensive and that taps into a client's current hidden marketing assets through the 7 steps.
Let me ask you this, Richard. We kind of understand what hidden marketing assets are and the word leverage. What if you're talking to a small business that just isn't that sophisticated? How could you word it in a more simplified way that anyone could understand, in an alternative way of delivering it?
Here's another way to word it. I was making a presentation, a pitch to a prospect, and he came back with these words. He said, "Oh, so Richard, really what you're saying is you work from the inside out." So you could say something like this. You could say, "Mr. Prospect, I'm kind of convinced that you probably already have inside your business right now marketing opportunities that we may not be aware of. Now, I don't know what those are, but I'll bet you feel, Mr. Business Owner, kind of like I feel, that there's probably some areas of opportunity in your business that, you know, you're thinking could probably make you more money. So we're going to work from the inside out. We're going to take everything we could find inside your business right now, and we're going to make more money from those before we go outside your business and start advertising more. Does that make sense, Mr. Business Owner? And that's another way to communicate it.
That's good. Okay.
Another way would be to start maybe identifying some of those hidden opportunities. Like, Mr. Business Owner, maybe you have some past customers that you haven't heard from for a while. Is that the case?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we know there's money there. We know we could probably do some marketing to reactivate those and bring them back. It may be, Mr. Business Owner, that you have other products and services that you haven't offered current customers. Is that the case?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we think there's money there. We think there could be thousands of dollars there. You probably, Mr. Business Owner, have done some advertising or maybe are doing some advertising now, and it's just not working like you'd like to. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we think we can fix it, and we think we can make that advertising get you more cash. I'll bet, Mr. Business Owner, you probably have some relationships with other businesses that could maybe bring you some more prospects.
Well, yeah, I get referrals now.
And that's right, Mr. Business Owner. From those same people who give you referrals, I'll bet they have access to maybe hundreds more. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we want to go get those because that means more money to you, doesn't it? So sometimes you need to kind of take them through and help them see where the assets are. But all of these are inside your business right now. And that's what's unique about this HMA system, is its ability to discover hidden opportunities for cash sitting inside your business right now. And if we implement these 7 steps that I'm recommending, we will unlock the cash hiding in your business right now. That means we won't have to ask you to spend any more money on traditional advertising. Would you like that, Mr. Business Owner? So there it is. That's the HMA USP. And everyone here has to really become passionate and believing in that, because that's what sets you apart from everybody else.
That's great. We can open it up for a question and answer. Does anyone have any questions for Richard for anything related? It could be something you think is silly or anything at all. Now's a good time to do it.
Well, this goes back to some of the niche thing, and I guess one of the allures of the niche market is to be able to record and document everything within that niche and then sell that as an information product.
Sure.
That's my strongest desire, is about finalizing that niche, but still remaining a generalist enough that I don't lose touch with the entire market.
I was talking with Rob the other day, and Rob, you can clarify this if we need to, but he mentioned about the need to find a way to sell more pizza for a pizza place. And you get online and you can find marketing plans for pizza stores. You can find marketing plans for, like I've done, for salons, hairstylists. So these are niche players who have been in a niche for a while and have done very well and now turning around and selling that information to that niche. So everyone here should be aware that you could do that if you run into trouble or you can't think of some ideas for your clients. Go do a Google search on the niche and you'll probably find some great marketing information that's out there.
It's very reasonable, too. You figure you've got a $5,000 client and you pay $300 for this niche
course. There you go. Yeah, it could make all the difference.
You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Sinoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. And in the HMA University, I've added my audio marketing secrets. That is all specific. You've got hours and hours of audio recordings on how to do this. So you could buy someone's niche product and then increase the value by using audio, like I do, you know, with the HMA system. And you could build the value of that by doing interviews very easily and quickly and increase the value 10 times.
How are you doing, Dave? How are things?
Hey, Dave, how are you?
Not too bad. Sorry I'm late. I've got the cast taken off my ankle, so.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us.
Kicking people's asses again, all right, David. More like my own. A quick question for Richard.
Sure.
The problem I'm coming up against at the moment is that I've been too successful, and I've got 3 of my clients that are growing too fast. it's a great thing to say they're growing, but what's happening now is their quality of service is dropping a little bit.
Yeah, becoming
a bit of an anti-USP for me.
Yeah, that's a great question.
I'm kind of banging my head against the wall here a little bit.
Can you ratchet back the system? Can you rein it in?
I can, but what I don't want to do is ratchet it back too far so that a thing stalls. I don't want it to be like an airplane where you take your foot off the gas and the whole thing falls out of the sky.
No, what you need to do is sit down with the client and determine what manageable growth is.
Yeah.
And then match the system to meet those objectives.
Was that a mistake on my behalf for qualification during op analysis? Is there any way I could have foreseen that growth, maybe that it would grow?
Well, yeah, because what you want to do up front is you kind of want to find out how much capacity there is.
Yeah.
And if the client says we could do this much more without structural burden, then that's what you need to find out.
I've got one client in particular. He's grown about 63% in the last 3 months. That's the reason I missed the last call. He loves it, but the service quality has dropped a little bit and thinking about taking on more staff and things like that, which I've encouraged him to do. You reckon to ratchet it back a little bit rather than kind of start hiring staff and dealing with the excess?
Well, I recommend sitting down with the client and agreeing to an acceptable annual growth level. Then if that means temporarily we've got to bring a lot of people on, but maybe then later we can use them elsewhere. I don't want to lay people off.
That's my big worry, actually, because I don't know for how long term this is going to be.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to take on, let's say, 10 or 12 staff, and then this time next year have to leave off 5 of them. I don't want to be that consultant, you know what I mean? I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, and so I think to everybody out there, two things. One is upfront, find out what the capacity of the client is to service growth, because you don't want it turning into an anti-USP. And then kind of then move into implementing the system to meet what that capacity is. So that's a great case study.
Let's be great on this side.
Yeah, I hear you.
How are things with you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good, good.
Yeah, we're excited finishing up this online learning course that's going to be coming out, and we'll get that released through Michael for you.
Excellent, excellent. Best of luck with it.
So, Dave, for the last few weeks, are you on the second step with the one year?
I'm on the third step, going on to the fourth step. Actually, just finishing the third step up, sales training. The sales training has been the easiest step so far. And if you ask me why, I can't really say. They're just really taken to the sales training. I think it's because of the fact they've never got sales training before.
That's right. Huge asset underutilized.
They are just hoovering up the information. Once the kind of training module has been finished in one of my clients, I get the client ringing me up and asking me to come back and do some more with him because his staff were just gagging for this information. And I think it's because, like I said, they haven't had sales training before and they see how much easier their jobs could be because of the training. And they're willing to kind of put themselves out and have a go, you know?
How are you going in and actually presenting the sales training?
Just PowerPoint and just workshop it.
Are you using the PowerPoint that we have up on the system?
Yeah, and I'm using the sales training that is in the manuals. Actually, I'm mixed up now. I'm talking about step number 2. I apologize. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's just so long since I spoke to Michael. Step number 2 was the easiest. Step number 3 I'm on now is database management. Now, the problem I've had with that is nobody over here keeps a database.
So you're implementing that now?
No. What's happened is it's kind of stalled a little bit because, and this is for anybody who's starting, I was given this advice and I didn't heed it. So I kind of got myself stuck a little bit. So take heed of the advice I'm going to give you now. When you start step 1, the number one thing you do when you close a deal is see if they have a database. If they haven't got a database, the very first thing you do is tell them, start a database. And give yourself 3 months.
That's
3 months build up. Because what happened was, I started on step 1, I closed the deals, and as you can hear from the recordings back then, I was hyper excited. I was like a kid in the playground, but I didn't manage it. What happened was, I went straight into step 1, did step 1, straight into step 2, and step 2 was the easiest. Like I was saying, step 2 was the easiest, the sales training was the easiest, because the information, and it wasn't a kind of a data dump, it was like a workshop and role plays, and we were scripting some of it and whatever else. They just hoovered it up. I came to step 3, and I sat down and said, right, let me see your database. And they kind of went, what are you talking about? Let me see all the information you have on your customers, you know, your past customers, your present, and the prospects you've seen. Well, we don't keep that. So I kind of stalled a little bit, and what I've got them doing now is going through invoices and putting them on a database. So that's kind of holding me up a little bit. At the moment, I'm not too pushed because I'm dealing with the 3 clients who've had rapid growth, and they're taking up a lot of my time at the moment because, like I said, I don't want to kind of hit the brake and have the plane fall out of the sky for them. And I don't want them to be taking on staff that they're going to have to leave off in 12 months. So that's kind of worrying me a little bit at the moment. It's not a big worry, but it's a better worry to have than having no clients. But I would say this to all the consultants. Take it from me because, and I'm sure Richard will back me up, The very first thing you do before you do any step one is check up the database, because that is where you're going to get your biggest leverage, is their database.
Well, and Dave, you should uncover that in your opportunity analysis.
I agree, and I remember Michael saying it to me during an interview, and I can't remember what interview it was. If somebody wants to go back and check over, he actually specifically said it to me, and I agreed with him. And what did I do then? I did the exact opposite.
Yeah, in your opportunity analysis, you should be asking if they've got that database. And then Dave's point is dead on. If they don't, have them start from day one and either do it in-house or outsource it.
I thought all of them at the moment going through the last 12 months invoices. They all have databases that the Microsoft software they use in the business access. So, I mean, all they have to do is go through the invoices. But like I said, it's something I should have done on day one. Because, like I said, the biggest leverage you're going to get is from the database step, because that's where all their customer names are.
That's the whole value of the business.
That's the whole value of the business is if you don't have customers, you don't have a business. And if you can't manage that step, or if you mismanage it like I did there, that could be fatal. It wasn't for me because I got lucky, I suppose. I really don't know why it wasn't fatal. But I think it's because they see that the other two steps are working. I think they've pulled out all the stops to get the information that I need. But I would say that's a huge mistake on my part that I won't be making ever again.
Rob had taken your advice, Dave, with his retail store, and he was able to go in there and cut some costs very simply. Rob, can you describe how you did that and how that kind of affected the attitude of your client? And then, Dave, if you've done anything new on cutting costs with these clients and how that's helped you. Rob, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
Good talking to you. Yeah, I was just setting up the phone recording. I was talking to the phone company that handles the phone for the business I'm working with, and while I was on the phone setting up call forwarding through the call A service, I said, what can we do to save money on this bill? And they had a program that was sitting right there and actually saved the company well over $500 within the next few months on their phone service just by asking.
That's all it takes, yeah.
And my client, you know, they're paying me $500 a week for 10 weeks to pay for the first two steps. And hey, there's 1 week right there.
That's it. What you've shown them there is value. And all you have to do is ask the question. I think, like I said, a lot of the HMA consultants have a problem asking for their value, as in their fee. But if you show value, like Rob is showing value there, you can ask for whatever you want. Whatever your value is, like I said, and I've said every interview I give, I won't negotiate on my fee because that's the value I bring them. Rob has shown that he can pay for himself. Now, the thing about it is, they will say that's $500 for every year until they change again. And Rob has done that for a fee of $500. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like cutting costs and bringing in more revenue. First of all, you know more about what you're doing than they do. And in relation to cutting costs, Rob, I would look at all their overheads, all their suppliers. Because if they've been in business a while now, I'm not talking about startups, I'm talking about businesses that have been in it a year or two. They're probably still with the suppliers that they started the business with. And the suppliers have probably added on 5% every year to adjust for inflation. And the company's probably eaten that. But if you go back to those suppliers and say, look, we're a good customer, or I'm assuming they're a good customer and they pay on time or whatever else it is. Go back to the suppliers and say, look, I'm putting out a bid. We're a good customer here. What can you do for us? Is it a retail store, Rob?
For more interviews like this, please go to hardtofindseminars.com. Yes, it's a retail store.
Oh, sorry. If you go back to a retail store and ask them this question, if they pay their bills on time and have never been late, let's say assume 30-day terms, that's the regular over here. Go back and for every supplier they have, ring them up and ask, look, if we can pay our bill in 10 days, will you give us a 3% discount? Now, assuming this doesn't hurt their cash flow, the retail store's cash flow, you have to check to see if they can do this. If you do that over the year, they will save more than they can make in interest in the bank. Well, that's the figures for Ireland. I know what it is for the States. That's a simple way to cut costs. Very simple way. Another way is just ask the suppliers, can they give a better deal? And justify it by saying, well, look, we're giving you so many dollars a year. We're feeling a pinch a little bit. Can you adjust it down? We're a good customer, and we intend being a good customer for the foreseeable future. All it is about asking and negotiating and shifting a little bit and asking. Rob proved that. It's not a big deal. And somebody says, yeah, I'm going to cut costs. I mean, a lot of business owners, a lot of people, even a lot of consultants get very, very edgy and whatever else. I mean, all negotiation is asking. And Rob proved that. He just asked while he was on the phone. He saved the company €500 with just a phone call.
Have you had time to implement some of this with any other clients, Dave?
Yeah, that one is a very powerful one. If you go in and ask for a discount and early payment. Business terms over here is usually term 30 days. And what I have done is, in the ones where I know they can do it, what I've done is I've implemented a situation where if they pay in 10 days, they get a 3% discount on the price.
That's great. You know, there's some recordings on the HMA University. It's with the Art Hamill system. And there are some incredible recordings. It's on how to buy a business. And it's all based on the accounting, and it's how to free up cash flow. And there's some very powerful techniques in those audio recordings. So you could go in, if you've got a retailer or any business that's hurting on cash flow, you can go in and negotiate. Instead of paying 30 days, you could negotiate 60, 90, 120 days.
Everything is negotiable. The only caveat that I would give is, number one, never do anything that would hurt your client, as in put a strain on cash flow. Don't force them to pay in 10 days when that will stretch their cash flow or hurt their cash flow. And number two, a lot of these measures won't work unless your client is a good customer of the supplier. If your client is always reneging on paying, or is late paying, or has just got bad credit with that supplier, none of this will work. It's all based on the fact that your client is a good customer, is a valued customer, is a loyal customer. And once you have that, everything is negotiable. Because depending on how big your client is, the supplier has a vested interest in your client being successful. Because the more successful your client is, the bigger he gets. And the bigger he gets, the more supplies he needs. So therefore, he's buying more from the supplier. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And once that happens, everything is negotiable. Because the supplier doesn't want you going to a competitor. Because then your client represents a percentage of that supplier's sales, which obviously the supplier doesn't want to see go elsewhere. Again, it's all about asking. It's all about seeing it. Just go in and ask for, let's say, two things. Ask for the consolidated profit and loss sheet for the last 5 years. Ask for a supplier's list. And ask for the year-ending profit and loss sheet. And the present month, or the month gone by profit and loss sheet. And use the 80-20 rule. About 20% of things are causing 80% of the costs. And cut those costs. And you've helped yourself enormously. And you've just done one thing. And all you have to do is ring up the suppliers and ask. Will it work all the time? Of course it won't work all the time. Because your clients, unless they're very big at the moment, are going to be worth different things to different suppliers. Like, they're going to be a small percentage of sales to one supplier, but a huge percentage of sales to another supplier. So then you start with suppliers that you know your client is a big customer of, and you talk to them and you say, look, we need a break here. We need some concession on prices. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to cave. They're going to go, okay, fair enough, you've been a good customer, we can do that for you. Because they don't want to see you go elsewhere. Because then that's a big percentage of sales, their sales gone.
Dave, how are you managing your time, and has taking on this many clients been more than you expected?
Yeah. To be honest, I wouldn't do it again. Like I said, probably 8 to 10. And again, I was told that anything that I've run up against as a problem, I've been warned against. I mean, Richard's always saying take between 8 and 10 clients on. And, of course, I went in and took 17.
How about your clients on your waiting list? Are you keeping in contact with them?
Yeah, I'm keeping contact with them. A monthly letter and a monthly phone call. And any advice over the phone that I can give them, I give them for free. If they have a quick question, they can ring me up, no problem.
Any news on that article, that publication that was going to do that story on you?
Yeah, that's coming out next month, and I still have my monthly column and my radio slot.
Is the monthly column and the radio slot bringing in calls?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I mean, like I said, I'm turning away more customers than I'm taking on. Like I said, I've shut down my waiting list now because it's just too long.
When you do your column and your radio spot, are you trying to qualify the listeners before they call you so you're not wasting a lot of time with unqualified people?
It's very hard to do that because at the moment I don't want to be seen as something elite because, to be honest, the businesses over here aren't very sophisticated. I don't want to be seen as somebody who just works for the kind of the big boys at the moment. I want everybody to be coming to me. I mean, it only takes 5 or 10 minutes to be able to kind of go on the phone and say, look, what's your problem or what you need? I'm very good now at kind of qualifying somebody over the phone. I wasn't able to do at the start, but that's because I've started getting so many calls and, like, I'm turning people away now. But, like, they've said to me, listen, okay, you're busy, but, I mean, I'll wait to you, and I'm saying, okay, give me a call in a year. And I think I've gone through something like 500 business cards in January, and I've gone through 445 of them at the moment, just people asking for them. So I'm just swamped at the moment, and with my broken ankle and hobbling around, and, you know, that makes me even worse. When this round of clients is over, I'll be taking on 8 and just up my price.
Yeah, Dave, this is David Stem from Walnut. What's your work hours? Like, is it 6 in the morning till 12 a.m.?
I work 6 till 6. Now, so obviously 6 in the morning is in my office doing work, and then the rest of the day is meeting with clients and going over stuff with clients. But, yeah, it's a 12-hour day.
Anyone else?
Any questions at all? I mightn't have the answer, but I listened.
So how long do you usually spend with one client? Like 2 hours a day?
That's completely dependent on the client. If it's a case that my diary is pretty full that day, I will say, look, I've only got an hour, or we only have an hour to discuss whatever it is. If I'm not, then I'll give the client as much time as he needs. because at the end of the day, they are paying your wages and you're there to service them. One thing you have to understand is even though you know more about what you're doing, your client is still your boss in a way. And that's why I missed the last teleconferences. I got a phone call that this client was climbing the walls with worry about us growing too fast and service quality going down. And I said, fine. And I sat down for 4 hours with him. And we went over the problem and we talked about it. And he's pretty happy now at the moment. So, like I said, I can't give you a definite answer because it depends on the client. It depends on how you work with your client. When I'm with the client, I don't do a lot of speaking. I do an awful lot of listening and I ask questions because that's the only way I'm going to get information from somebody and to formulate an answer for a question. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Richard, do you want to say something?
Well, I was just going to say the client really doesn't care on how much time you're spending as long as he gets results. So he's right. Just take care of the client as you need to.
If you're worried about the amount of time you're spending with your client, you shouldn't be in this business. And I don't mean to be cruel to anybody about that, but this is a relationship business. If you don't have a relationship with your client where he can ring you at 9 o'clock at night and say, Dave, I'm worried sick about this, I need to talk to you. And if you're not in your car and over to that client, you've got a problem. Now, obviously, this is only when there's a huge problem. This poor man has a huge problem. He's grown 63% in the last 3 months and he wasn't ready for it.
What kind of business is he in? Which one is this?
The retail.
What got him the big boom? Where did he start seeing that?
It was a sales training, yeah.
Okay.
It was a sales training. It was integrating the USP. It was telling the people the story. Show them the benefits of working with him and not going to his competitors. And once he gets the database through now, I'm going to have to ratchet it back a little bit. To be honest with you, what I might do is I might suspend him a little bit. I'm thinking about suspending and just holding him. And then when it kind of goes down, then go on to the database. Because I don't want to go into the database. And I mean, it's ridiculous. If you can't handle it, there's no point in doing it. So I'm thinking about just doing a kind of a suspension and let it level out and see what it levels out at.
Could you set up a joint venture with any alliances in the area that could take over some of the extra growth, maybe a different retailer that would complement what he's doing?
That's something I've spoke to him about, and he's thinking about it. The problem is now that he only had a certain amount of customers before I came on and wanted more. Now I've come on, he's got too many. He doesn't want to give the ones he has away.
Yeah.
You have to remember, this is their business, their livelihood, their life. It's like a child. You have to be very careful with it. It's like going to one of their children and smacking them in the mouth. They take it very personally. And if you don't show the same concern for their business that they do, they just won't trust you. They won't see you back. And they'll tell their friends about you.
How about increasing the price of his products?
We've looked at that as well, plus price inducements. They're all things I've gone over, and he's thinking about it at the moment. I'm meeting him Tuesday evening, so hopefully we can sit down and do a plan. But I have no problem suspending the program until it levels out. And then when he's more ready, and when it isn't such a culture shock or a shock to him, a shock to the system, we can again slowly start and build it up again. I have to wait for him to come back and see what he wants to do. But a price increase is definitely on the cards.
Very good.
You're charging your client €3,500 per project,
correct?
Right? Do you tend to increase the price on that as well?
Yes, I'm going to probably drop my clients by half and increase my price. Not on the next 8, because I promised the next 8 at 3,005. Definitely next year. And probably what I might do is, because I didn't expect to be able to generate this much growth, to be honest with you. So what I might do next year, I might look at a fee and a contingency at the end. And I don't mean to kind of harp on about this. You have to know your value. It's not the price I'm charging that you should be looking at. You should be looking at what price you're charging. Yes, look at your competitors. Look what the marketplace is doing. Let me put it this way. I'm charging $2,500 per step. We've gone through 2 steps, which means from that client, I got $13,000. I've grown his business 63% in that 2 months. Now, do you think that is more than €13,000 or dollars? That's a lot more. So do you see what I mean? You see, when you're asking about your price, and you're thinking to yourself, what will I charge? You're asking the wrong thing. The question you ask yourself is, what can I bring my client? How much can I grow in dollars? Estimate it. Look at the business and say, I think I can grow that by 60%. That is a certain dollar amount. Now, for that dollar amount, how much do I want to charge that client for getting him that? Now, obviously you take into account market factors like your competitors, what are your competitors doing, how much do you think the market can bear, things like that. And also, social proof is a great thing. Endorsements. I mean, when I'm finished with this guy, the endorsements I'm going to get off him is going to be fantastic. The referrals and whatever else. Social proof is a great thing. If you don't value yourself, nobody else will value you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
When you're thinking about price, you're internalizing yourself. Don't do that. Externalize it. Think, I can bring this person so many dollars. Now, how much do I want to charge that person for getting him those dollars? Do you want to charge 20% of the fee or whatever it might be, or the increase in sales, or do you want to charge a fee? At the moment, I'm charging a fee, and the fee just happens to be $3,500 per step.
Great. Yeah, it's all looking at the same thing differently, changing the paradigm.
That's all it is. It's the way you think about yourself. I got a question about it in the last interview I did, and it's been one that I heard in one of the very first interviews that I was involved in. The HMA consultants complaining about their low fees. They're only getting low fees because they're not externalizing what they can give to the client. And if they can't externalize what value they can bring to the client, how can they sell them on the value? Because they don't believe it themselves, or they're not thinking that way. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Jim.
What do you say to the client who says, I see the value in each of these steps, however, I see that the immediate cash value in steps 3 and 4, so I'd like to start there?
You tell him in no uncertain terms and very politely that he's wrong and you know better and you cannot get to steps 3 and 4 without going through steps 1 and 2. The step where you'll get the most leverage is step number 4, database marketing, relationship marketing. The most important step is step number 1, define the USP. Why? Because the USP is your differentiator. There's no point in going to your database if you can't differentiate. That doesn't make sense. Again, if that question came to me after the end of an op analysis, I would consider myself not having done a good job because I haven't educated the client. What has happened there is they've missed something or you haven't explained something correctly to them. So what you do is you go back, you say, look, this is what I want to do. This is how it has to go. And if at the end of the day they don't understand that, well, what you have to do then is consider yourself, well, do you really want this man as a client? Because if he's not going to take on board before you even start, what kind of a nightmare is he going to be when you do start?
That's a good point.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
You do not want nightmare clients. You have enough problems with the clients who are doing what you ask them to do without some guy ringing up and saying, this is crap, I want you to change it. And then you're in the middle of it, and you're in the middle of a contract, you sign a contract. Worse still, you're on a handshake. And he says, this is not what I signed up for. In an op analysis, if he has problems, you do not leave that op analysis. And I don't care if it takes you 12 hours with one client. You do not leave the op analysis with this client having questions. Because if he does, and he doesn't ask them then, he will certainly ask you halfway through, and then you're kind of going, well, didn't I not tell you that? He'll say no, and then it's a nightmare. Then all your time is trying to fix that problem. And believe me, you're not going to have enough time for that.
That's a great point of view. Richard, how would you handle it in that situation?
Yeah, exactly that way. Cover it up front. Get it all up front and make sure that the expectations are clear. Make sure that the order is clear. And he's right. If he doesn't want to do it the way you, the expert, are recommending it, then you really shouldn't engage.
Great, thanks.
So I think we're going to end it here. I think this was a great call. I learned a lot. And David, I appreciate your input. And Richard, thank you. And I want to thank all the consultants for coming on and sharing. And a warm welcome to the new consultants. And as always, I'm here for you. Richard's here for you. I'm sure Dave's here for you. Anything you need, just let us know.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
If anybody wants to email Richard with any questions or queries, then for me, I'm sure Michael wouldn't mind forwarding them on to me.
I'd be glad to.
I have no problem answering any questions you have.
Okay, Richard, any last words for the consultants?
No, everyone is doing great, and just get out and start selling and using it and working, and it'll all come together for you.
Okay, great. All right, bye, everybody.
All right, thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye-bye.
That's the end of the April 6th HMA training conference call. I hope this has been helpful. Go to the conference call section in the HMA University and make sure you keep abreast of all the new conference calls and the previous ones there. They're all there with their descriptions and the MP3 downloads and the printed transcripts. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Hi, it's Michael Senoff here with another bonus tip from Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. Your audio infomercial, which I create for you, will sell more products of yours faster, easier, and for less cost than any conventional advertising method, and I guarantee it 100%. Imagine catching yourself at concert pitch talking about what makes your business or your product service unique, what makes it special. Imagine taking a professional recording of that perfect sales presentation that I create for you in giving it to your prospect as an audio CD or an internet download from your website. I can do this for you faster than you ever thought possible with my personalized audio informational recording service. If you're interested in this unique service, please contact me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com. In the subject line of your email, in all capitals, write audio infomercial, and I will get back with you with more information.